The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Werner Ramirez in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Werner Ramirez.
Friends, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, starting at verse 1. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And then suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make a dwelling here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from a cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God." In 2019, on Transfiguration Sunday, we had a guest preacher. And I was talking to my good colleagues, and we thought it might be time for him to return. So if you just give me a moment, let me go grab him. Well, hi, I'm Peter. I bet you didn't think Peter would look so Guatemalan and so good looking. But I hear from my dear friend Werner that you wanted to hear about one of the most life-changing moments of my life. And I do want to share about that. I believe you just read about it from the Gospel of Matthew. That's my homie right there. He makes me look a little dumb sometimes, but it's okay, I forgive him. Any day, one day Jesus took James and John and myself on top of this mountaintop. And I have to warn you, what I'm about to describe, it may seem unreal, mysterious, and you might even think that I'm making it all up. But I ask you to trust me. Hear me out. This thing happened before my eyes where I saw Jesus literally light up and he's talking to the prophet Moses and Elijah. And there the presence of God begins to speak out loud. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. And I know this all sounds bizarre, but this is part of my story. But before I talk about that, I have to tell you a little bit about myself and what happened 6 days before this mountaintop experience. So first of all, you should know that I'm a fisherman by trade. Now, this is a noble occupation to have, but what I and other little boys wanted to be growing up was to be a rabbi. What we wished most for was for a rabbi to make us one of his disciples. We would train to be like them, but the older that we got, the more that they cut of us. They just wanted the brightest and the best. So when we got cut, they would say to us, "You've been a faithful follower, but for now we need you to go back to your family trade." I fish for a living. I think you guessed it. I got weeded out a long time ago. So when Jesus, this rabbi, comes to me and says the words to me that everybody wanted to hear as a little boy, "Follow me," of course, I immediately drop my nets and follow this Jesus. And us, this group of disciples, well, we were a ragtag team. I mean, Jesus picked the most random people, well, maybe not that random, to be his disciples. He picked a zealot and a tax collector to be together in the same team. That's like picking an anarchist and a corrupt politician to be on the same team together. I bet you could imagine the arguments that we got into. Perhaps we didn't like each other all at the same time, but we were committed to following this Jesus. to see what would happen. And we follow him, and he gives this incredible Sermon on the Mount. He teaches us how to pray. We see him do miracles. We see him get tested by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law. And we think there's something there. Now, 6 days before this mountaintop experience, we have just had an intense week. And Jesus comes up to us and says, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And we tell them the truth about what we're hearing. Some people say, "You might be Elijah reincarnated, or the prophet Jeremiah, or even John the Baptist, but for sure a prophet of some form." And then Jesus comes up to me and looks me in the eye and says, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, I've been following Jesus for a little bit now, for quite some time, and I think he might be the Messiah. So I say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You see, we had been waiting for a Messiah, someone to come rescue us, someone to take down Rome and put us back into position. And I truly believe that it was Jesus. So I tell him, "I think you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And he looks at me and he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And I'm absolutely glowing. I went from being a fisherman to being Jesus' top disciple. He said, "On this rock I will build my church." But at this time, I still thought the Messiah was coming to fight, to take down the Romans. I was ready to take my sword and fight alongside Jesus. And Jesus continues to talk, and he says, "We are going to head down to Jerusalem." And I said, "Yes, we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to march and take down the Romans." But then Jesus switches his tone, and he says, "And there I will suffer. There I will die. And there I will resurrect." Now, I'm this rock, and I think Jesus is testing me. So I say, "Never! This will never happen to you." And then Jesus chastised me. He says, "Get behind me." And you have to know that, like, I've seen a movie from your time called Anchorman, and there's a quote from there that says, "I'm a glass case of emotions." That's how I was that day. Because moments before, he said, "I am the rock that he will build his church." And then he says, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't know what to think. I'm in a funk for a few days, and I could see that Jesus senses this. So Jesus takes me and these brothers, James and John, on a retreat. We go to this mountaintop. I think we go up to pray, to have some spiritual renewal. But then all of the sudden, I look at Jesus, and he is radiant. I've never seen anything like this. His face was like the sun. His clothes are dazzling white. And I know this is really hard to believe, but that's what I saw. And then things got even weirder, because then I saw Moses and Elijah. I don't know how it was Moses, but I just know that it was him. And then there was Elijah, the prophet, who ascended into heaven in the book of Kings. All three of them in the same place. And I just want to be in this moment forever. And I panic a little bit, and so I interrupt them. I say to them, "This is really awesome, but I think what I want to do now is I want to build three shelters, one for you, Jesus, one for you, Moses, one for you, Elijah. That way we can just stay here forever and not have to worry about what's happening down below the mountain." And as I'm interrupting, a cloud comes over us and a voice says, "This is my beloved, who I am well pleased with." Now, I wasn't at Jesus' baptism, but I know those were the same words that Holy Spirit spoke about Jesus at his baptism. But then the voice said something else. The voice said, "Listen to him." Now, I don't know if you've ever heard an audible voice of God's presence, but it scared us. Like, it really scared us, enough that James, John, and I fell to the ground. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, you can see an image of us. They got it right. Like, we are on the ground because we are frightened. And then Jesus comes and touches us ever so carefully with comfort, like a parent who is comforting a terrified child and says, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And so we get up and we start to head down the mountain. Again, this was a life-changing moment for me. But here's the thing. I wanted to stay on the mountaintop. I wanted to dwell there and hang with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I wanted to stay on the mountaintop, but we had to come down. We had to come down because Jesus had work that he needed to do. I had work that I needed to do. Us, all of the disciples, after his death and resurrection, we had no idea what was coming, but there was so much that we had to do. You see, Jesus had to come down the mountain. He couldn't stay there. For the sake of reconciliation and redemption of all things, he had to come down the mountain. I thought Jesus was ready to fight to be the Messiah we were all expecting. But Jesus showed his power in weakness. And I witnessed that when I saw his death and resurrection. And after that, when we came down the mountain, what I noticed was that the Lord became a servant, but that servant also became Lord. It's so interesting when I compare what I saw on the mountain with what I saw at the crucifixion. On the mountain, I saw him in full glory, completely lit up. But then on the night that he was killed, I saw him in complete shame. On the mountaintop, his clothes were dazzling white, but on the night of his crucifixion, he was stripped naked. On the mountaintop, there was a great marvelous cloud, and a voice spoke, but then at his crucifixion, there was just darkness, and Christ yells, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then there's me. On that night of the mountaintop, I babbled and couldn't stop talking. But on the night of his crucifixion, I denied him 3 times. But if I just think about his death, I wish we would have stayed on the mountaintop. It was great there. No distractions, just pure bliss. But we had to come down the mountain. And I cannot just think about his death because the story does not end there. The reality is that I was able to see Jesus' glory that day on the mountaintop, but then once again at his resurrection. I didn't get it at first. I didn't understand why we had to come down the mountain. But now I see the service that happened once we came down. Now I see the service that I have been called to and the service that you have been called to. After his resurrection, the church did rise up. And by the looks of it, it's still rising up. We've been talking about what's happening in ministry in New York City. We've heard about a place at the table. We've heard about your mission partners. We've heard about your confirmation students. We're all very proud. But we've also heard about the anxiety of what it means to be the church in your day, especially in this political climate. I've seen empire. It's scary. You know the feeling of being on top of the mountain, and now things feel different, and it feels easier to just go back and retreat to the mountain. Again, I get it. I've been there. But the work down the mountain is tough. It's scary. It's risky. But it's also holy. I promise you, when you take care of the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the stranger down the mountain, you will see glimpses of that radiant Christ. I know the world feels gloomy right now, but friends, rest assured, the story does not end at death. It marks the beginning of new life. God is still working and serving to redeem and reconcile the whole world. Jesus came down the mountain, and we chose to follow him. So Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, I invite you to follow him in service as well. Friends, the work down the mountain is tough but holy work. The good news is that we do not have to do this alone. You heard it from the confirmation students. You have a creator, a redeemer, and a sustainer that does this with you. Go with that peace. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.